And we take up in the Holy War our study here at the paragraph that begins, "Now, as Diabolus was busy and industrious in preparing to make his assault upon the town of Mansoul without, so the captains and soldiers in the corporation were as busy in preparing within the city. They mounted their slings, they set up their banners, they sounded their trumpets, and put themselves in such order as was judged most for the annoyance of the enemy and for the advantage of Mansoul, and gave to their soldiers orders to be ready at the sound of the trumpet for war. The Lord will be well also. He took the charge of watching against the rebels within, and to do what he could to take them while without, or to stifle them within their caves, dens, and holes in the town of Mansoul." Now, everything so far, all of Diabolus' attempts have failed. He tried frightening them to death. That failed. They just lobbed these stone promises of God out to him. He tried then to turn to a deception and be kind and offer his love and his help. That didn't work. So then he became enraged and he goes back into fighting mode. And now here he is postured outside. Here's Mansoul. The Mansoulians are postured inside. And everyone now is very seriously postured for war. And Mansoul is doing everything in their power to prepare to hold off his invasion. Our commentator in the book says, "No amount of prayer or conflict will suffice without inward watchfulness and preparation of the heart." What I just read to you, Bunyan is describing the preparations they have made, setting things in order inside Mansoul. And so rightly, the teaching is, as our commentator says, it is the matter of watchfulness and preparedness of the heart. All the issues of good or ill success are from within. Hence, the internal discipline of the soul continues. So long as Diabolus disposes his army from without and has allies dwelling within, the soul must not abate one jot or tittle of its self-suspicion and self-examination. The thoughts, the desires, the appetites, the tempers, the passions all need to be kept in subjection under the yoke and beneath the heel of the conqueror. To withdraw the hand or to relax the hold is to encourage the lurking spirit of evil and to give it fresh opportunity for revival in the soul. In the experience of in the exercise of self-discipline, the will is most of all responsible. You notice he said, "Lord will be well." Was given charge within for watching. He took the charge, the paragraph says. The will of man keeps the entrance gates of the soul, and it is by the leave and license of the will that evil thoughts are permitted to tarry and are entertained and encouraged until by and by they have brought forth evil desires and those again have fructified into evil deeds. How often does the soul thus wage an unequal warfare against the powers of evil, while the will turns traitor, opens the gates, admits the foe, harbors him in the region of volition and desire. The understanding may know that is wrong. The conscience may loudly repudiate the act, but the will loves to have it so. And then what can the soul do when the will has secretly inclines to the evil intent and yields itself to the hands of the destroyer? What can the rest of the man do? But if the will of man be in subjection to the will of God, if it bear the yoke and be under the influence of the Spirit of holiness, it will do valiantly in the interest of the soul. It will discover and destroy the remnant of the fleshly nature, mortify and crucify the old man, and with its affections and lusts. Such is the responsibility of the will of man. Lord, will we? Bunyan says, and to speak the truth of him, ever since he took penance for his fault, he has showed as much honesty and bravery of spirit as any he in man's soul, for he took one Jolly and his brother Grigish, the two sons of his servant Harmless Myrrh, for to that day, though the father was committed to ward, the sons had a dwelling in the house of my Lord. He took these guys, I say, he took them with his own hands and put them to the cross. Who were they? Well, there was Jolly and Grigish. Grigish is an interesting word in the Old English. It means to be irritating, but it's not just any kind of irritation. It's irritating because of its pronouncement, constant pronouncement of self-righteousness. It's a person that's so super righteous that they're really irritating. So he's got Jolly and Grigish are the sons of the servant Harmless Myrrh. Now, what was Harmless Myrrh's real name? You remember, that was a false name for him. That was a trick name. That was a name to mask his real ugliness. Real name is Lasciviousness. But he goes under the name Harmless Myrrh, and he's got two sons, brothers, Jolly and Grigish. Well, Lord Will Be Will goes and finds these two brothers and puts them on a cross. Here's the will acting as only the will can act to bring into subjection these Diabolians who are in the city. As this was the reason, Bunyan picks up, and this was the reason why he hanged them up. After their father was put into the hands of Mr. Trueman, the gaoler, they, his sons, began to play his pranks and to be tickling and toying with the daughters of their lord. Nay, it was jealous that they were too familiar with them, the which was brought to his lordship's ears. Now, his lordship being unwilling unadvisedly to put any man to death, did not suddenly fall upon them, but set watch and spies to see if the thing was true, of the which he was soon informed. For his two servants, whose names were Find Out and Tell All, catched them together in uncivil manner more than once or twice, and went and told their lord. So when my Lord Will Be Will had sufficient ground to believe the thing was true, he takes the two young Diabolians, for such they were, for their father was a Diabolian born, and has them to Agate, where he raised a very high cross just in the face of Diabolus and his army. And there he hanged the young villains in defiance of Captain Fasthope and of the horrible standard of the tyrant. He hung these boys on a cross in front of Igate. Now, he didn't rush to that. He checked it out. What was it? I want to ask. We've already said enough to answer it. But what was it about these two fellows that they deserved to be crucified? What were they doing? Somebody tell. What was their crime? What does he mean by tickling and toying with the daughters of their Lord? Tickling, toying with the daughters of their Lord. And he posted a watch, and when he watched them, what he found, he catched them together in uncivil manner more than once or twice. What are they doing? In the soul. Somebody? Well, look at their names. Jolly. And Griggish. They're not just messing with anybody, they're messing with the dog. Whatever exactly they're doing, whatever it is, it's most uncivil. In short, it's just inappropriate. It's inappropriate. There is such a thing as fun. There is such a thing as righteous fun, righteous merriment. But then there is that which goes too far. And it's dabbling with innocence and dangerously close to being just completely inappropriate. These two fellows were in the habit of finding that edge and carrying man's soul, especially the daughters, the youthful innocence, to places that are just not appropriate. That was their crime. And for it, Lord will be will, catched them and nailed them to a cross right in front of Igate so that the eyes could see it. And he did it in defiance of Captain Fasthope. So that when Diabolus' Captain Fasthope comes to the soul and says, Now, you're hopeless. It's too late. You're past hope. He says, no, I don't think so. You see what I've done? No, I don't think I'm past hope. No, we're killing these fellas. We're killing these dangers. No, I'm not past hope. So that encourages the soul to press on, to hold out. It's great theology here. Great practical theology here. Our commentator says of this Jolly and Griggish, One would think that Bunyan had borrowed by anticipation a part of the slang of our own age when he indicates that by these names, the offspring of that Diabolian principle, lasciviousness, which disguised itself under the more deceptive name of harmless mirth. The names here given to his two sons are indeed very suggestive and point to those features of the worldly mind which include carnal pleasures, mirth that hurts the soul, laughter that makes one sad, and joy of the world that soon turns to sorrow and bitterness. Worldly pleasure oftentimes relaxes the discipline of the soul. The bow unbent is subject to reaction. That which seemed to be harmless, pleasurable, and mirthful becomes the occasion of a deep decline of faith and holiness, and at last, a grievous downfall of the soul. These principles must be put to the cross, crucified and slain, else that which is the offspring of past sin may become the parent of future transgressions. There are some things that are not in themselves evil, but some saints cannot abide them because they will lead them to evil. I'll never forget, gosh, was it 30 plus years ago, back when I was a fundamentalist, and we preached that the television was of the devil. You couldn't be a Christian and have a television. We actually preached that. I'll never forget Brother R.L. Bryson. He wouldn't have a television, but he never really preached against it. And I was always smitten by what he said about it. He said the reason he didn't have a television is because he said, I think that I must be the weakest, most pitiful saint God ever had. And he said, I know that I can't watch that part and keep my heart up. I know that. And so I'm not going to tempt myself with it. He said, if I have it in my home, I'm going to watch it. And if I watch it in no time at all, my heart's going to be in a place it don't need to be. And so, he said, I would never tell you that you couldn't have a television, but I can't have it. That always struck me the way he put that. I mean, that's good theology. That's good practical theology. There's some things that are harmless in and of themselves, and certainly no Bible verse against them. But if they lead you into pleasures that are forbidden, you better put them on the cross. You better erect a cross in front of eye gates and crucify. As I understood it, that's what he would do. He just had to crucify that because he knew he couldn't abide it and stay out of trouble. Well, it's good counsel Mr. Bunyan gives us here. Now, this Christian act of the brave Lord Will-Be-Will did greatly abash Captain Past Hope, discourage the army of Diabolus, put fear into the Diabolian runagates in man's soul, and put strength and courage into the captains that belonged to Emmanuel the Prince. But of course it did. Of course it encouraged them. All such works of self-denial and self-improvement encourages the soul to go forward. For they without did gather, and that by this very act of my Lord, that man's soul was resolved to fight. The Diabolians within the town could not do such things as Diabolus had hoped they would. Nor was this the only proof of the brave Lord Wilby Will's honesty to the town, nor of his loyalty to his prince, as will afterwards appear. This Christian act, says our commentator, no disciplinary act of the soul can be without a result for good. Or, as Bunyan notes in the margin of his original work, Bunyan said, mortification of sin is a sign of hope of life. One such resolute act of the soul in slaying any root of sin within it is a grave discouragement to the army of Diabolus. The soul that can resist sin and crucify the flesh gives evidence of a power that will be able to destroy doubt, to overcome despair. This resistance serves as a bracing discipline to the soul, which waxes yet more and more courageous as its hand cleaveth to the sword of successful conflict. Well, there's a wonderful phrase right there. Its hand cleaveth to the sword of successful conflict. Hand cleaveth to the sword of successful conflict. The soul starts to gather strength and says, I did that. If I can do that, I can do something else. And it begins to build momentum to slay these Diabolians. Now, when the children of prudent thrift, who dwelt with Mr. Mind, and by the way, that's not his real name either. What's his real name? Prudent Thrift. Covetousness, remember? When the children of prudent thrift who dwelt with Mr. Mind, for thrift left children with Mr. Mind when he was also committed to prison, and their names were Gripe and Rakehall. These he begat of Mr. Mind's bastard daughter, whose name was Miss Holdfast Bad. I say, when his children perceived how the Lord Wilby Will had served them that dwelt with him, what do they but, lest they should drink the same cup, endeavor to make their escape? But Mr. Mind, being wary of it, took them and put them in hold in his house till morning, for this was done over night. That's very telling, isn't it? Boy, isn't that very telling? Bunyan's telling us something here. Whole lot of this conflict happens at night. It's a good time to put your hands on Diabolians. So he laid hold on these villains. I say, when his children perceived how the Lord Wilby Will had served them that dwell with him, what do they but, lest they should drink the same cup, endeavor to make their escape? But Mr. Mind, being wary of it, took them and put them in the hold in his house till morning, for this was done overnight. And remembering that by the law of man's soul, all Diabolians were to die, and to be sure they were, at least by father's side, such, and some say by mother's side too. That is, they definitely were Diabolians. What does he but take them and puts them in chains, carries them to the selfsame place where my Lord hanged his two before, and there he hanged them. Boy, there's some cleaning up going on around here. Gripe and rake all. These again, says our commentator, these again are the offspring of the disguised diabolian nature, the well-named children of prudent thrift, more truly called by the name of covetousness. See how vain it is to change the name of any evil principle. Its nature remains the same. I don't care what you rename it. It's the same. We have a lot of that going on in our culture today. Renaming things. And familiarity with it breeds bitter fruit. In this case, the soul harboring the lust of gain becomes grasping and greedy and, to all intents and purposes, the slave of covetousness. This remnant or outgrowth of the old man must also be destroyed. Mind must act with vigor and deal honestly with itself. It must cast mere names to the winds and regard the true nature of things. Thus only can the evil heart be thoroughly searched out and examined and sin exterminated root and branch. So the townsman also took great encouragement, Bunyan says. Townsmen also took great encouragement at this act of Mr. Mind, did what they could to have taken more of these diabolian troublers of man's soul, but at that time the rest lay so squat and close that they could not be apprehended. So they set against them a diligent watch and went every man to his place. So they are rooting out, seeking to root out all of these diabolicals. And of course, they're being very successful, at least so far. And they have crucified now 4 of them in the same place, which is before I get, so that they can see. And diabolists can see that they have crucified these diabolic villains. And of course Satan is discouraged. He's discouraged when he sees all this going on because he's losing grip and he knows he's not going to get any help from within the family. We'll stop there, but do we have any questions, comments, or further admonition to us from this reading?